Turn your Bibles, will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, we continue the message this morning, willingly or responsibility, which is better? Willingly or responsibility, which is better? We want to go on and take a look here in more depth in the Scriptures about what we mentioned and what we believe that the Scripture tells us and our brother is telling about in this passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 17, and we saw and reviewed about Paul's case and the ministry, the calling of the Lord upon him. In 1 Corinthians 9, 17, for if I do this thing, the calling of the Lord, the ministry that he's been given, if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Contrast at hand, willingly or against my will, a reward or a dispensation or a responsibility, a stewardship, as we pointed out this morning. What's this all about? And we sought to bring this down here to our lives. Understand that we've been given a calling by the Lord, and it does us well to pursue and ask and pray and ask our Lord to help us to be in fellowship with our Lord and to be about the business that our Lord has given us. Our example is the Lord Jesus Christ, who did all things that the Father had given him to do, and he did so willingly and pleasing and desirous to be pleasing unto the Father. But when we have problems with our flesh, we have problems with our old man and our mind, we need to remember that we just can't bail out. We can't bail out of what the Lord has called us to do. We can't just bail out of what we have been given and what we have been commanded to do and pursue. But rather, we need to remember that a responsibility, a stewardship has been committed unto us, has been committed unto me. I want to take a look here in regards to this subject about the old man and the new man. Let's take a look about this. And I think we're going to find that there is a doctrine that we hold to and that we see as certainly is in the Scriptures that this is speaking about, and maybe it'll help us to understand better how all this goes together. Turn your Bibles, will, to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, we read this verse, and Solomon, the preacher, writing, he says, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, there you have that verse in the Scripture, but then we turn over here to 1 John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, where we read this. In 1 John chapter 3, we see a verse like this, verse number 6. Whosoever abideth in him, in the Lord, sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. We skip down to verse number 9. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, wait a minute. Is the Bible so to speak, speaking out of both sides of the mouth? Is the Lord speaking out of both sides of his mouth? We read in Ecclesiastes, for there is not a just man, a justified man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But yet, here John writes, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him, known the Lord. Verse number 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Now, how is it? Which way is it? Well, I think what's being evidenced here, and we want to take a look at this chapter, that it's pointing and telling us and showing us again that there is the old man and the new man. We have to understand that as the people of God and the children of God. In chapter 3 of 1 John, in verse number 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. And so he declares plainly that the great love of God, his agape love bestowed upon us, is manifested in that we are the sons of God. We're made the sons of God. We've been adopted by our Lord. And because of that, we're not known by the world because the Lord is not known by the world. It's that way. He is not known, nor are his children known. He goes on to write in verse number 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." See, it's not a thing where we have to wait. You don't have to wait for sainthood. You don't have to wait for the application process and all the right kind of things be in line and all that to be declared a son of God. If you're saved, you are a son of God. Brother Jim, I'm a gal. It's all right. You're a son of God. Okay? It's just fine. It's the Lord. It's the Lord's working. The Lord doesn't have just vision for this time and this world, but he's got eternal vision, okay? And so he's looking, and always comes from the eternal picture. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if that doth not yet appear what we shall be," we know how we are now. We don't know what it's going to be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So there's a promise. We're going to see our Lord. And I tell you what, child of God, when you see Jesus, you're going to be like him. Got that promise. "Every man that hath this hope in him," verse 3, "purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What did that say? Every man that has this hope of seeing Christ face to face, seeing Jesus as he is, having this hope that we will be made like him, everyone that has that hope in them now purifieth himself. You mean there's a need for purification? There sure is. There sure is. There's a need for purification. How do we purify ourselves? Take that old man and put him down. Put that old man down. Okay? Goes on to say here in verse number 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." There's the definition of sin. For sin is the transgression of the law of God. That's what's implied there. That's what's known and understood in the Scripture. "And we know that he was manifested, he was shown, he came as a man to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So there's a contrast. We're the sinners. He's the sinless. And he was given for us, wasn't he? "Whosoever abideth in him, you live in Christ, sinneth not." What? Wait a minute. That's got to be a typo. That's got to be a misquote there. No. Because see, look at the word abide. See, how is it that the Lord Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, "You must be born again"? And you know what? When the Lord births you again, when you're born again, you have life. Just like the little baby and the babies here recently that were born, and we understand about that, and they come forth from the mother's womb, and the doctor takes them, they treat them, they'll suck them all out, do all the things that they do to them, pat them on the rump, and they start squalling, and life is manifest. We know that they're alive in their mother's belly, but now they've hit the air, and they're here with us, and they're alive. They're here in our midst. They've been born again. They've been born. And as someone that is without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, they need to be born again. And physically born, you got to be here. The Lord Jesus Christ said you got to be born of your mama to be able to be in line to be born again. Okay, you got to be here. You can't be born again and not be have a natural birth. Okay, you got to be here. You got to be for human beings. They got to be here already. And you must be born again. And to be born again is to abide in him. "Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not." See, that's the new man. That's the life that's been given by Christ. That's the Spirit of God living within. "Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Those that just continue on in sin don't know anything about the Lord, have not seen him. They don't know anything about him. "Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he," the Lord, "is righteous." John chapter 3, as John writes, he says, what is it about the children of God? What is it about those that have been born again? They like to get up close to the light. They don't mind the light. They've been saved from their sins. They've been redeemed from their sins. The Lord Jesus Christ has paid for their sins. They don't mind getting up close to the light because they don't mind seeing that God's working. They don't mind others seeing that God's working in them. The works of God being wrought in them. But you know what? The sinner without Christ doesn't want anything to do with the light. The light is a reproof, is a rebuke. It shows the truth about what's going on with them, that they're filthy and they're sinful and they're wicked. Don't want to get up close to the light. Don't want any part of the light. But the one that's saved likes getting close to the light, enjoys doing righteous things by the power of the Lord, even as he is righteous. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, Jesus came, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil, and all those that work those works with him, will be destroyed. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. Being birthed, abiding in, being birthed. It's even clearer here, isn't it? They're born again. They're born by the Lord. And they don't sin. Why? Well, listen to what it says. For his seed remaineth in him. It's the seed of the Lord. It's the seed of the Lord within, that the Lord has put within there and brought to life, the Spirit of God living within, the one that the Lord has birthed unto himself. So it makes it very clear here that the new man, as we refer to him, as the Scripture refers to him, does not sin. And as we mentioned this morning in our text verse, our text passage, who's the willing one? It's the new man, isn't it? I tell you what, but if the old man is raising up and running the show for a while, and I just don't feel like it, I need to remember I've got a responsibility and a stewardship from God. I don't feel like it, Brother Jim. I tell you what, I understand about not feeling like it, but go ahead and obey. Go ahead and obey. Because this is God that has dealt with us. This is our Lord, our Creator, our Savior that is dealing with us. We don't have room to put off this calling. Well, I just don't feel like it. Well, I tell you what, dear brother, I was thinking about this in between services. Dear brother that was down in Mississippi years ago, pastor, missionary down there, and he would talk about folks, brethren in the church there. And I remember one time I was talking about one fellow that said he'd surrendered to preach, but he was having troubles about a gal that he was going to marry, and he was looking to marry a gal that he shouldn't have been marrying and all that. And the brother referred, and he said, well, we're just praying for him that he'll get his heart right. You know, sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to get our hearts right with the Lord, line up with his word and his truth and leadership of the Spirit and what he's told us plainly, and quit whining and fussing about me and what's going on with me and what I want and what I don't want and this, that, and the other. And that's what we need to do. We need to get our hearts right with the Lord. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So you know what? I need to meet the calling that the Lord's given me willingly and enjoy it. Get my perspective right. But you know what? Start looking around at the world. Brother Asaph did that, didn't he? Started looking at the prosperity of the wicked. How nothing goes wrong with them. They got everything that they could want. Their children are fat and sassy. Everything's just great and wonderful. Then he went to the house of God and he saw how their end was. And he knew about how his end is. Having been saved by the Lord, then he understood. And he got his priority back right, didn't he? But you know what? When our priority gets out of whack, we need to do what our Lord has called us to do. So one brother says, do right, do right. Do right till the stars fall and do right. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. Verse number 10. In this the children of God are manifest, are shown forth, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. A transition is being made. The brother's making a transition here about being born of God and not, the one that doesn't sin and the one that does sin. And he's taken it over here to about how it is amongst the saints. How is it amongst the brethren for those that have been born again? For this is the message, verse number 11, that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not the way Cain loved, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. He murdered him. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain hated his brother. And did Cain hate his brother for anything his brother had done to him? No. He didn't hate Abel for anything that Abel had done to Cain. He hated Abel because Abel was obedient. Just like the world is going to hate those that are obedient to the Lord. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. That's what that says, and that's what that means. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Claim to be saved? Got brothers and sisters in Christ? You don't love them, won't do for them, won't seek to help them, won't pray for them? Are you saved? It's real plain. But you know what? The love of God that is in those that are saved is going to have a love for the saints, going to have a love for sinners, going to have a love for the saints. Going to want to be around the saints. Is it a thing with us that we, I think that there's an element, and I think that we can fall into it, and I think there are some that live with it. They ratchet up to be able to endure services, and as soon as services are done, boom, can't stand anymore. During the time I've been pastoring, I've seen that. I think I've seen that. They'll crank up, and it's kind of like winding up a toy. I'm going to wind it up for 59 and a half minutes, and then once it clicks 60 minutes, boom, their tolerance is over with and done. Can't handle, can't stand any more of it. Over with. Kafoot. Done. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. And that's just not an excuse for the pastor to be long-winded, but I tell you what, when you don't want the fellowship of the saints and you claim to be a saint, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Either they're not saved, or the heart's not right, or something. Don't want to engage. Don't want to be a part. Don't want to meet the calling that the Lord has given. How is it with us in the church? How is it with us that have been saved and put in the Lord's church? We've got this dispensation, right? This calling of our Lord, this stewardship of these blessings, salvation, put in His church and all that. But in regards to the church, are we just a taker? We just take and take and take and take. We need to be ministered to and ministered to and ministered to, but never minister ourselves. And I know there's different ones that are in different shapes and at different times. And we're all maturing at different rates and at different times. But how is it? Just think about it in your life with the Lord, your walk with the Lord, your walk in the church. Have you just been a taker? Or have you been also wanting a minister in that? We're all called. We've all got a calling. Has it been what the flesh has wanted to do? Or has it just been to be served by it? Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Not abiding in the Lord, but abiding in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. One that would look on at one that is... says that they're saved and says that they're a brother or sister in Christ and they hate them in their heart is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's the attitude that we ought to have and are to have one for another. You know what? I need to do so willingly. You know what? I do so willingly. I tell you what, it'll be a joy. And you know what? There is a recompense of reward. We don't serve the Lord for the reward. Understand that. But I tell you what, the Lord's given us knowledge that there is a reward. And do so willingly. The apostle says, I have a reward. But you know what? If I let this old man rise up, I need to remember that I've got a stewardship from the Lord. and I need to go ahead and do what's right and obey my Lord. Oh, the blessing won't be the same, but I'll tell you what, you won't be at fault for not. See, there's right way, right attitude, and then there's right way, no attitude, and then there's not. Think about it. Think about it. See, understand, folks, that this message and these thoughts and this Word of God falls under Christian growth, Christian maturity, growing up, not just participating in a spectator sport, okay, being a member in the Lord's church, but pursuing the calling that the Lord has given us together. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, none of us have been called to lay down our life for another. But I'll tell you what, in fellowship and in making the effort to come to services and making the effort to be involved in things in the ministry of the church, praying one for another, giving for the sake of one another, giving for the sake of these brethren in Africa. You know, we give of our lives. You worked to make that money to give to that offering. You have given part of yourself for that sake as an example. And that's good. That's right. That's the way it ought to be. Maybe we won't lay down our life. Maybe we would be called to lay down our life at a point in time for the sake of another. But you know what? We can lay down our lives daily by giving of ourselves for another. There's another aspect. It's not just talking about death. I don't believe it just applies just to giving your life in one shot as a martyr, but to give of yourself. Did not Christ come to be a minister to those that should have been ministering to Him? Amen. That's what He did. And here's an example. But whoso hath this world's good, see, he gives an example, and seeing his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Indeed and in truth. Let us love with the love that has got legs on it. With action. With action. Let us love our Lord. Amen? With action, with pursuit, and not just standing by and watching it all pass us by. Verse number 19, and hereby we know that we are in the of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. I want you to listen to these verses. My little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. How will our hearts be assured before Him? Loving in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. But if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Maybe, as I mentioned this morning, maybe you're carrying some guilt around because of failure of service and obedience to the Lord. And rather than doing a thing willingly, you've kind of been over here in that, well, I've got a stewardship, so I need to fill my duty. You know, God's greater than all that. And we can trust Him in what He tells us to do. His commands, He says, are not grievous. His commands are not grievous to those that love Him. You know what? We need to get our hearts right. If we're over here in this camp, over here in this way, which all of us are at different times, okay? All of us are at different times. We need to know, you know what the Lord says is right. I need to get back to that. I need to get back to fellowshipping with my Lord and praying to my Lord and reading His Word and feeding upon Him and worshiping Him personally and worshiping Him publicly. You know, I need to get back to that. I need to say, for our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart. You know what? You can trust Him in what He says. Don't have to wrangle around and try to figure out what God says, whether it's so or not. What He said is true. Meet the call and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, doesn't this sound just like it does what we read over there in 1 Corinthians 9:17? And beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. I'm obeying Him. And it's not a thing of pride where I think I'm arrived and I'm better than my brother and my sister and all that. You know, I'm just looking to be there in singleness before God. The world says this, others discouraging this, and others want to do this. But the Lord, you say this, and this is what I'm going to do. Well, I'm going to go, and others around me say, well, I'm not going. I'm going to obey, and others around me say, well, I'm not going to obey. Lord, what you say is right. You hear what I'm saying? Our eyes focused upon Him. Our hearts focused upon Him and obedient to Him. Isn't that saying the same thing as what we've seen? If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But against my will, a stewardship of the gospel is committed unto me, as our brother writes, a dispensation, as it says there. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and he shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave his commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. So there is an old man and a new man in there. There is the Spirit of God that lives within. There is the Spirit of God that we need to yield ourselves to and follow in and follow Him willingly. You ever have something about the Word of God come at you, something that's going to look to change your life, something that you used to do that you shouldn't be doing, or something you're not doing you should be doing, and all that, and then you get in that fester and that wrangle with it? Go into that justification mode and just try to figure out how you can get around it, how it's not so, how it's not right, how it's just the brother's idea. That, you know what, we just need to listen to the Lord. We just need to listen to the Lord and follow Him and what He says. Follow the Spirit of God that He has given us. You know what? We'll do and meet the calling willingly if we do that. And so we see here also in this is that in verses 18 through 21, I failed to mention here, is love a feeling or a mindset? Is love a feeling or a mindset? Is our Lord's love toward you and me a feeling or a mindset? He set His love on us, didn't He? As rotten and stinking as I am, I would make my Lord, you understand this, by way, before I was saved and since I've been saved, I would sure make my Lord feel like He wouldn't love me. But you know what? He set His love on me. And He puts up with me. And you know what? That's what we need to do too. We need to have our love and our hearts set on our Lord. In 1 John chapter 5, let's take a look quickly over here in verse number 17. It says here, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not unto death. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Hear that? Whosoever is born of God sinneth not. Are you born again? Are you saved? Your new man doesn't sin. The Spirit of God living within does not sin. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The keeping. You mean I need to keep myself? Yeah. We need to keep ourselves in the love of the Lord. We need to keep ourselves in His Word and His truth. We need to do so willingly. And you know what? Satan won't be able to touch us. Oh, there may be trials. There will be temptations. But you know what? With our hearts and minds focused upon our Lord, we will be able to stand in and for our Lord. We know that whatsoever, we know that verse 18, for we know that whatsoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. There's a contrast, isn't there? And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. giveth us another standing, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. See, this thing of the new man and the old man is it's very much related to justification, isn't it? See, when the Lord looks at the new man, the one that he's birthed again, the one by which the Spirit of God lives within, he sees Christ, doesn't he? And I've been made before God, you that are saved, you've been made before God just as if you've never sinned. And you know what? That's the way the Lord looks at it. He doesn't consider about our sins past. Because why? Christ has died for us. His righteousness has been imputed unto us. When he looks at us, he sees Christ's righteousness. That's a test of one's righteousness. And we're justified. A judicial affair by the Lord, done solely by him at his call and his bidding. See, justification is the indication. And so, this old man and this new man is at hand, and the new man is that willing part. Look here. He's given us an understanding in verse number 20, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. There's a description of salvation right there. An understanding, knowing him that is true, in him that is true, even in Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life, being in Christ, being a new creature in Christ, right? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. He says, watch out for that unwillingness. Watch out for that covetousness. Watch out for going that other way. And then other passages that I'll quickly just read to you here. Remember in Romans chapter 7? In Romans chapter 7, go ahead and turn over here so you can get the whole thing. Romans chapter 7, remember how the apostle deals with this here, about this and the old man and the new man? In verse number 17, he talks about the carnality of the flesh, and then about the impact of the law. And he says here in verse number 16, then I do, if then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Of our text passage, which do you think that this is? The willing one or the one against my will? Amen? See that? It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. See, that's the old man. We come on down here to verse number 20 in Romans 7. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And it's not an excuse. It's not a license to sin and be willful against the Lord. But it is an understanding about the old man and the new man. It is no more I that do it, speaking of the new man, but sin that dwelleth in me, the old man, the unwilling one, the one that when he starts rising up and starts taking control, we need to remember that we've got a stewardship from our Lord and we need to obey him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, everything that we deal with in life, it starts in our minds, doesn't it? It pretty much starts in our minds, in our heads, in our hearts. And here the brother writes that we about the weapons of our warfare and the warfare that we fight, and it's a subject for another time. We just want to pull out this verse here, verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Yeah, you know what? It needs to be all the way down inside. It's not just outward performance. But we need to submit to our Lord all the way from the inside, willingly. Meet the call of our Lord willingly. But sometimes you got that wrangling. You want to go do this, you and I want to go do this or go do that or not do this or not do that. We need to remember when that is rising up that we've got a stewardship of the gospel. We've got a calling of our Lord that we need to meet and obey Him in. You hear that? Cast down those high things, those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. I want to disobey the Lord in this thing. I want to go, and we're not even maybe thinking this way, but I just want to go and chase after this sin. I want to go do this. No, that needs to be brought captive to our Lord. It needs to be the new man that's in control. Romans 8:13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If I follow after sin, young people, if you follow after sin and the sins that are there of youth, you follow after those things, you know what? It'll kill you. It'll kill you. It will. It may not be fast or it could be very fast. But you know what? We need to mortify the deeds of the old man through the Spirit, it says here. In Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Back in April of 2014, we had Brother David Pittman with us, and he mentioned in one of his messages about how it is that the challenge of times of being cold, dull of hearing, a mediocre attitude, a lukewarm way, all the way to times of being sensitive to the Spirit and filled with zeal. And, you know, as I think he was delivering that, and I think that was his intention, you know, it made me think, well, yeah, we've got times like that in our Christian lives that we're low and we're high and all that. And then he said, then the punch was, see, Brother David's one of those kind of preachers. He'll sneak up on you and have you before you know it. He's just that way, and it's a blessing. We need that. But he says, I don't hardly go through a day that I don't have that. See, that was like, I was thinking like weeks or months, you know, and he says, I don't hardly have a day that I don't have those kind. I said, that's true. That is true. See, willingly or against my will. See, what's bad is when the will of the old man wins out. We just don't need to go there. That's disobedience and sin against our Lord. But we need to meet the call of need to meet the calling that the Lord has given unto us, the stewardship and the calling He's given us. We need to meet that willingly. Willingly. But you know what? When tempted and tried, I need to just go ahead and when the Spirit is not running as high as the old man is running, I need to remember that I need to go ahead and obey the Lord against my will. You hear that? You hear what I'm saying? I feel like I've done a poor job of trying to get this across. But we sure don't need to let our own carnal will win out. You hear? Better to serve the Lord willingly with the new man. When the old man rises up, do it against the will of the old man. Obey the Lord against the will of the old man. Don't ever let the will of the old man rise up. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, see, the Apostle Paul, he said he faced the same thing, didn't he? Sometimes I think he had to say, you know what, this is what I need to do. I need to go home and make that tent so I can minister to these people and make the gospel without any charge. He had that, and he's conveying that to the folks there at Corinth. He's conveying that to them that sometimes it's that way, and we need to remember when it is that way, when the old man is rising up, we need to remember we need to obey our Lord, even against the will of our old man. In Luke chapter 17, I know I've kept you long, but just bear with me here just a little bit more. I pray the Lord will help this, and if it's any of it is confusing, I want you to ask me about it. The simple passage here that our Lord gives us that I think conveys about the same kind of thing. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 5, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. He's talked to them about offenses and how often they need to forgive when a brother trespasses against them. And they said, increase our faith. The Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you with just that much faith in the Lord. That's always where faith is based. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? I don't think so. I trow not. See, that's the relationship. You and I, we are saved, have been blessed to be called to be the children and servants of the Most High God. Tell you what, folks, there's the blessing. God has given His Spirit to live within us, and we've been called, we've been given a stewardship in this calling, and there is the blessing. The disciples said, increase our faith. I think what they're wanting to say there, and I think the end of the passage tells it, makes it clear, we want to feel better about this. But it's not about feeling better. Do you think the Lord Jesus felt good coming and winning salvation for us? I've been thinking about this here lately. I'll just throw this in here. The Lord Jesus Christ went 40 days and 40 nights without food and water when he was tempted at the beginning of his ministry, right? What would that do to your health? Well, it would kill us. You know, I wonder, you know, they beat Jesus, didn't they? And he bruised. They scourged our Lord and he bled. They spit upon him and hit him on the head with a reed and his head swelled up. I've wondered here lately about that, the temptation of our Lord in the desert there. And, of course, the power of God is upon him. But what if that, in that temptation of that 40 days and 40 nights without going with any food, destroyed his health? And he, for 3 years, bears it. He bore our iniquities, carried our sorrows. The scriptures fulfilled where he bears all our diseases and infirmities. See, it's the power. Why did Jesus not die before he got done on the cross? Because of the power of God. What he endured would have killed us. But then he went on to the cross, I believe, and endured that. What if all the way back there in his temptation that his health, naturally his health was wrecked, but because he's God, he could keep that body alive and working? You know, we always think about it on the side that he was just pristine and nothing happened to him. What if he did go ahead and his liver and his kidneys and all that was wrecked and the pain that goes along with it? And you know what the Lord does? If it's so, I don't know. I can't tell you that it was, but I wonder about it. I know what it would have done for us, and I know what happened to Jesus at the end. And what if for 3 years he bore that infirmity for our sakes? Didn't fuss, didn't complain, nothing. But with a ravaged body from the effects of that, I don't know. I don't know. But I tell you what, he did endure. He did endure that. And then in Gethsemane, our sin was put upon him there. And he bore it to the cross. The Lord Jesus, he says here, who has a servant that after they go work in the field tells a servant, said, you go eat, and then after all you, I'll eat. He said, that doesn't happen, does it? But he says, rather, the servant goes in and fixes things, and after the master is done, then he eats and drinks. Do they thank that servant, verse 9, because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Duty. Yeah, even the Lord says, sometimes it's going to be with you. You're just going to need to serve out of duty. But make sure you do. Make sure you do. Don't let the will of the old man rise up to where you don't. You know what? Which is better? Willingly, or out of responsibility? Well, it's better to do so willingly, isn't it? Well, it takes self-control, and we'll take a look at that and what the Scripture says about that at another time. Appreciate your patience. May our Lord help us. May our Lord help us that we walk with Him. May our Lord help us to keep our eyes upon Him. May our Lord help us that our hearts would be right towards Him. And indeed, may we pray one for another, that our Lord would strengthen us and help us and bless us and encourage us in Him.